There are six Sedarma Mishnayos, the last of which is named Taharas, which Seder Taharas is comprised of 12 Masechtas, one of which is improbably also named Taharas. So here we have a Mishnah in Taharas, not just a Mishnah in Seder Taharas, but specifically a Mishnah in Masechtas Taharas. Quoted in Masechtas Kiddushin, Daf Pei Amud, the Bavli and the end of Kiddushin. This is an Amud before the beginning of the Yichud Sugis that we had discussed to spend some time already earlier this year. So here we have a Mishnah Masechtas Taharas. Smack in the middle of Kiddushin Pei Amud Aleph. To tell you on the side, Masechtas Hashatz, this is a Mishnah from the third parak of Taharas, the Snan. An entertaining scene which may have less than cheerful outcomes from a practical standpoint. In terms of lumdus, this is incredibly cheerful. This Nam, a Mishnah, you find a small child, a baby, next to a bowl of dough. Ubatzeik biyado. And he has some dough in his hands. Rashi and Tosaf and Machlokas know exactly how this works, but for our purpose, let's just stick with Rashi. Rashi says, here's a bowl of chocolate chip cookie dough, and next to the bowl is a cute three-year-old, a darling three-year-old, with some chocolate chip cookie dough in his hands. But what's clear is that during the 10 minutes since you last left the kitchen, the baby got to the cookie dough. Most of it is still in the bowl, which maybe is a miracle. Some of it, though, is on the floor and in his hands. So clearly, what we know for sure is that during the last 10 minutes while you were out of the kitchen, the baby touched the dough. The dough is one big unit, or had been one big unit in the bowl. He obviously stuck his hand in and took some, which means at the time when he stuck his hand in, it was all one unit. He touched the dough. If he's tameh, the dough is tameh. All of the dough is tummy. But is he tummy? Rabbi Meir matar, v'cham mitamin. Rabbi Meir says, no, the dough is still tar. Chacham said, the dough is all tummy. Why? Now, the Mishnah doesn't explain Rabbi Meir. The Mishnah explains Chacham. Rabbi Meir just says, tar, period. Chacham said, no, tummy because. As though, which makes you think, and whenever you come across the machlokas, we show machlokas tanam, amaron, we show him, what have you, you always want to ask yourself, it's often as helpful to ask yourself, what's the muskel rishon? What would I have thought at first glance? Without, if I didn't know the yesharim like this, the yesharim like that, what would I have guessed? What's the more natural position? And that's going to be helpful to think about because I'm going to want to ask, and the next question is, so whoever does know like that, he has to explain what prompted him to disagree with the more obvious default position. So it's interesting that the Mishnah says Rabbi Meir without apparently a need for an explanation, and the Mishnah says the Chachamim with an explanation. So what was Rabbi Meir's position, which seems like it's the more natural, you know, self-evident, the muskel rishon position. What did Rabbi Meir say? What's the shita? The dough is tahar. Right? Meir matar. So why is that so obvious? I don't know. I don't know if this dough is tahar or tamar. It's tahar. Why?
Because the previously established.
Oh, right. Chazak the meikar. It's a mishnah in Gittin. Kavchas tamar. It's a mishnah in the third parak of Tahar. As a matter of fact, it's numerous Mishnayos and Taharas and elsewhere. Chazak d'meikara. I don't know what the story is with the dough. Well, 10 minutes ago, it was Tahar, and then I left the kitchen to run take care of something else. And in the meanwhile, it may not become Tamei. So if I'm not sure, just tell the Chezkas Tara of the dough. That's what Meir says, Chezkas Tara. Chacham say no Tamei. Well, why should it be Tamei? Well, Aleim Lahavi Raya, so to speak. Chacham has to explain. Why do they think it's Tameh? So they say the thing Shadakur Shaltinak with Tapeyah. Chacham say Tameh because it's the way of a small child, it's the way of a baby with Tapeyah, to touch things. Says Rashi, Batzik b'yado b'yadur shanat al-manis. Okay, that's Rashi's position, that if he has some dough in his hand, so we're certain that he must have touched the dough while the adult was gone. L'tapeyach, it's his derech to touch, says Rashi, b'shratzim u'nevei l'sheba ashpa. It's a typical three-year-old behavior to be touching the little dead animals and pieces of meat, nevela meat, in the garbage. Again, our houses are set up a little bit differently, and our garbage technology is set up a little bit differently than was the case 16, 17, 1800 years ago. But obviously, those two examples that Rashi gives of what's in the garbage can that the child probably touched, shrutzim and nevelos, what they have in common is they are both avos hatuma. A nevela is meat from an animal that died without undergoing a proper shechita. The animal dies without shechita, we call it nevela. Nevela, number one, is asur to eat, a lav daraisa. Number two, nevela is also an av hatuma. You have an animal that either died on its own or was killed, but not through a proper shechita. So the flesh of that animal is besar nevela, and it is an av hatuma. If I touch it, I become a rishon latuma. A rishon latuma can't make people tame, because people usually don't become a shein latuma, but a rishon latuma can make food and drink tame. So if the baby touched a nevela, some nevela meat in the garbage, or a dead sheretz, certain small animals, if they die also, are matame. For instance, a mouse. You find a dead mouse, which, Baruch Hashem, the way our homes are constructed with modern home building technology, you know, mice in the house are hopefully an occurrence that's either rare or never. But once upon a time, houses were built very differently, and people lived much closer to nature, and dead mice were a thing. So once upon a time, it's still true that little kids like to touch things, but you know, you might think, oh, little kids like to touch things, so if you don't have doors on the bottom shelf of the Svarim shrine, you know, the three-year-old will take out 20 Svarim while your back is turned. Back in the old days, you know, while your back is turned, the kid will take all the dead mice out of the garbage can. So Svarim on the ground are one type of halachic issue. You should pick them up quickly because of Kavod HaSvarim. You know, dead mice are a different type of halachic issue, namely Tumah. So if Darvish Latin with Tapeyah, most little kids like to touch things and grab things and go through things and go where they're not supposed to go. So, what the Chum is saying, therefore, in abstract terminology, in general principles, Rove is that the child is Tumah. The Rove is that since the last time this three-year-old went to mikvah, when was that? I don't know. So since the last time this three-year-old went to mikvah, the last couple of days, months, years since he was born, or whatever it is, he, in the stomach, has had the opportunity to handle an Ava Tumah or two, or ten. Some Besar Nevela, some dead Shratzim. So he, therefore, is a Rishon L'Tumah until the next time he goes to mikvah. And as the Rishon L'Tumah, if he touches chocolate chip cookie dough, the dough becomes a shady latum. So Chazaka tells me that the dough is tahar. Rove tells me that the dough is tamer. Oh. So Chacham Sir Meir says tahar because we're following the Chazaka of the dough. Chacham says that the dough is tamer because we're following the rove, which is exactly what the Gemara goes on to say. The Gemara says that that Bnei Yeshiva were handling, the Amoraim were handling, my time is Reb Meir. The Mishnah never explains Reb Meir's thought. The answer is, Ta Savar, he holds, Rove Tinokos Metapchin, Umi and Emetapchin. He agrees that Darko Shaltinak Lutapeach. It's not that there's a machlokas and metzius between the Chacham and Reb Meir. Chacham say Darko Shaltinak Lutapeach, Reb Meir thinks no. 3-year-olds tend to be very docile and they don't poke her out. No. That's an easily observable metzias, and the Chachamim would not waste their time debating metzias if they could just go and check. You can go and check, and you will see. Yes, indeed. There are kids who are more docile, but most 3-year-olds poke around lots of stuff. They all agree to that metzias. The question is, what does the din have to say about the metzias? The mayor says, Rob Tinok is a Tabchim, he is a Tabchim, he said the Cheskas, Haro Medes, it's true you have a rove. Rove kids, you know, mush around stuff. Some kids don't. 80-20, let's say. The Issa becheskas tahara matters. The dough is have a hezekheskas tahara. Usmoch miuta lachazaka esrele ruba. So it's true you have a robe. On the other hand, you also have a miut. Not every kid touches things. I'm certain that this kid touched the dough. That's avada. But that the kid previously touched the mouse, probably, but maybe not. So you have the chance that he's not tame. Plus you have the chazaka, cheskas tahara of the dough. Israel ruba, so that weakens the robe. Rabbanan say miuta kemandilei sedam. Rabbanan say that we imagine as though the mia doesn't exist. Kemandilei sedam. It's as though it isn't. We spoke about this language last week. Command lo yesh. Command kemisha eino dami. And therefore, chazaka ruba adiv. Ignore the mia. It's a robe versus chazaka. Robe wins. So what do we have? A Gemara here in Kiddushin Pei Amin Aleph analyzing a Mishnah in Maseches Taharos Paragimel. Machlokes Rav Meir Chachamim. What do you do if I have a suffix? I have an item, a food item, which is now suffix tame. I have this dough, which is now suffix tame. Rove tells me it's tame. Chazaka tells me it's tahar. It has the cheskas tahara, but the rove is it's no longer tahar. Rove is it became tame. The rove is that when the baby touched the dough, he was metame it. So Rov says Tame and Chazaka says Tar. So Rov versus Chazaka, who wins? Remeir says Chazaka wins. And Chachamim say Ruba v'Chazaka, Ruba Adim. Chachamim say Rov wins. We pass in like the Chachamim. Ruba v'Chazaka, Ruba Adim. Ruba v'Chazaka, Ruba Adim. So that is a very clear statement that in the hierarchy of the tools of Torah HaSvekas, Rove and Migo and Edus and one Aid and two Aidim and Shtar and Chazaka Cheskas Gimel Shanim and Chazaka Demeikara, in the hierarchy of all the different principles, all the different tools that the halacha gives us in our toolbox to solve a lack of information, to solve a suffix, in terms of stacking which is stronger and which is weaker, the Gemara here is pretty clear. According to the Chachamim, who's stronger? Rove is stronger than Chazaka. Rove is higher than the totem pole, so to speak, than Chazaka. We saw that also last week in Amasechta, in Gittin. We saw that in Daf Chav Ches, the Gemara says Chazaka is limited. Chazaka cannot predict the future. It can only make statements about the present. Chazaka can tell me what to assume now, but Chazaka can't tell me what to assume about tomorrow. Shema Yamos, Shema Meislo Chayshinan, Shema Yamos Chayshinan. Cheskas Chai can just tell me that the fellow is probably still alive, or I should assume that he's still alive. But Cheskas Chai cannot tell me the guy is alive now, should be presumed to be alive tomorrow. It's an interesting limitation. Whereas Rove can. Tosis in the Daf Lama Gimel and Gittin says that Rove can tell me that Mestama, the guy, will not be Mevatzel Shlichus in a way that will be Mafkia Kiddushin. And therefore, if Rachman al-Islan, Edim, discover a man and a woman having an affair, adulterous affair, found a man and a woman about to be intimate, and she is married to someone else, so these two people are about to commit a heinous crime of Niyuf, they can, and a capital crime of Niyuf, the Edom can give Hasra, and that will be considered to be Hasra's Vadai. So if you go through with the act of Bia that you're clearly considering, that will constitute a Chiyuv Misa. I mean, that will constitute a chiyuv misa. Maybe it won't. Maybe the husband will tomorrow do a bitul shlichus in a way that will retroactively be mafkia kedushin. Maybe he'll turn, they will never marry. That's what Tosa says to say in Lama Gimel. Every hasra is hasra safek. Every time you give hasra for ishas hasra safek, Tosa says no. Teretz number one, rov. Hafkaz kedushin happens very rarely. Bitul shlichus happens very rarely. Chances are, you know and I know, it's very unlikely the husband's going to do that. So the rove tells me that he will not be do something which will mafkia kedushin, and therefore we assume that they are now married. So rove can predict the future. Chazaka cannot. So we have two indications that rove is stronger than chazaka. Number one, directly. Ruba v'chazaka ruba, according to the Chachamim, whom we pass in like, Mishnah and Taharos Paragimel, Gemara and Kiddushin Daf Pei, Ruba v'chazaka ruba. It's hard to be more clear than that. Rove versus chazaka, rove is stronger. And we also see it again in terms of the power to predict the future, which chazaka demeikara cannot do, and rove can do. However, In addition to the fact that there are individual things that are not mustaber to us at this point, he said the whole idea you can't do a chazaka for the future. We don't understand why that is. Reb Meir, we understand why that is. We just read Kiddushin Da'pei, we saw inside the command that we had referenced last week. Miyuta command Delesei Dami. What does that even mean? When the meat doesn't exist, of course the meat exists. The Chachamim are not closing their, they're not ostriches sticking their heads in the ground and ignoring the reality. Of course there is a meat. What does it even mean? But in addition to all those specific kashas, this bigger issue of Rov versus Chazaka, who's stronger, two indications that Rov is stronger, that Chazaka is not so super powerful. Chazaka loses to Rov. Chazaka cannot predict the future. And yet, we come across a third context for Chazaka, in which Chazaka is wildly powerful. Remarkably, almost seemingly illogically powerful. Like Mamar's like an ace, in the sense that it seems to be super rational. Does not seem at first to make any sense. Chazaka seems to be so powerful that it can work in illogical ways, which is strange and which is schwer, because on the one hand, Chazaka is weak. Ruba Chazaka, Ruba Adif. Chazaka, unlike Rov, cannot predict the future. Chazaka versus Rov, Chazaka loses. And yet, where did you see the Chazaka is super powerful? Who saw? Anyone see? Anyone get that far? Let's take a look together. Here we are. Psachim Daf Yud Amud Aleph, where the Gemara quotes a different Mishnah, also in Maseches Taharos, but this time Psachim Daf Yud is quoting from deeper in Maseches Taharos, Taharos Perikei. If you're looking for the place, also in the middle of the Amud, by the little letter Dalet in the parentheses, this not. This Mishnah in Taharis, in the fifth paragraph of Taharis, is quoted, as you see in Mazar Sashas, both here in Psachim Daf Yud and in Ksubis Chav Zayin. Psachim Daf Yud, I think I mentioned last week, is one of the Psachim Daf Tes and Daf Yud is one of the largest addresses in Shas and Talmud Bavli for a discussion of Taharis HaSeikas. You have a Mishnah we'll get back to, which probably not today, hopefully tomorrow, Mishnah Daf Tes, that's also in the packet, that opens a question of Taharas HaSeikas. I did B'dikas Chametz, but maybe after I left the room, maybe an animal, maybe a rat came in subsequently, brought Chametz back in. That sort of opens the Pandora's box, like, the whole idea of B'dikas Chametz is to deal with Suffolk. And maybe there's Chametz, maybe not, so let me go check and make sure. The whole idea of B'dikas Chametz is a response to Suffolk. But within the world of B'dikas Chametz, there are more opportunities for further spekas, like maybe after I left, a rat came in, a chulda came in with more Chametz. So that gets the Gemara started in a whole slew of Taharas HaSpekas cases. We get up to Daf Yud Amud Aleph, that starts in Daf Tes Amud Aleph, get up to Daf Yud Amud Aleph, we're still going strong. Case after case after case. The cases are all, each mini sugi here starts with a B'dikas Chametz case, but the cases tend to be B'dikas Chametz examples of more general Taharas HaSeikas questions. So take a look here. I'm sorry, I gave you the wrong spot. I said in the middle of Daf Yud, I'm sorry, at the top of Daf Yud. The top of Daf Yud, by the little letter Gimel. But let's back up a drop more to the very last word in the third line of Daf Yud Amud Aleph. You'll get a flavor of the sugya. It opens with a B'dikas Chametz question, which the Gemara points out is really a B'dikas Chametz example of a larger, more general, more global phenomenon. And that's going to bring us to this Mishnah in Taharas, a very fascinating and bizarre Mishnah about Chazaka. Let's take a look. Here we are again, Psachim Daf Yud Amud Aleph, the last word in the third line by the little letter Aleph. Tzibur. Tzibur echad shel chametz. I have one pile of chametz. Ulefanav shnei batim beduken. And in front of it are two houses or two rooms. which are already bedukin. I already did my bedikas chametz on bias number one and on bias number two. I went through the house, I collected all the chametz from both, and now outside, bias either mean a room, and now in the hallway outside the two rooms, or I mean the two houses, and outside the street, I had left a pile of chametz. I went through bias number one, I went through bias number two, I swept out, I extracted all the chametz, and now the chametz is in a pile outside the two houses. So far, so good. The dindra banam bedikas chametz. I was mektayim bedikas chametz on bias number one. I was mektayim bedikas chametz on bias number two. They're both now certified chametz free. Gevaldik. The chametz is outside. The yasa achbar v'shakal. And then comes along my ubiquitous achbar, a mouse. So now the Mishnah spoke about a chulda, which is either a rat or a weasel. My mice are a little more friendly, but still are vectors of chametz. The shakal and the mouse went over to that pile of chametz outside the two batim and took some. He walks off with a cracker. We give a mouse a cracker. He walks off with a cracker and below, and then he blended into the background. V'lo yadini lahayoli lahayol. I saw he went down. All in Aramaic means to go in. Nichnas. So there was, I saw the mouse grab chametz, and I'm like, no, stop. And mouse hears me, he starts running towards the two batim. And I run after him, because those houses are bedukim. I don't need him bringing chametz back in. But I don't catch up with him. He runs at them, and then he disappears into the shadows. I don't know if he went into bias number one, or went into bias number two. So I had two houses that used to be both chametz free. Now, a mouse brought chametz into one of them. Which one? Only HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the mouse, no, for sure. But I need to know, because I need to figure out what's my status now. So how would you analyze this? What are the relevant principles right now? What halachic principle could I employ? What chazak meikara? Right? Until 5 minutes ago, until the mouse went to one of the houses, right? They're both chametz. I checked them. As of 5 minutes ago, bias, which house had a cheskas baduk? Both. Right? Bias number one had a cheskas baduk, and bias number two had a cheskas baduk. And then the mouse took the chametz into one of them, but I don't know which one. So what does Chazaka tell me? What does Chazaka tell me about house number one?
That's good.
Good. What does Chazaka tell me about house number two? Also good. So what should I do about doing Bdikas Chametz now? So what does Chazaka tell me? And in total?
Everything is kosher.
But that's a little strange, because clearly one of them is not. It's impossible.
Same thing.
Yeah, you've been waiting very patiently.
Can we use the rule that the mouse will eat the cracker?
Okay, good. So we are assuming that the mouse, that is the point actually the Gemara raises elsewhere. Over the course of these Daf Tes, Daf Yud, course of these sugyas, should I assume that actually comes up earlier already, on the very beginning of Daf Tes Amud Aleph? But for now, let's leave that aside. That's a good point. And the Gemara has a discussion about that. The Gemara says mice are not as excited about eating bread as they are about eating meat. Sounds like mice in Yeshiva Bachar have is that one thing in common. The flesh, the Gemara says flesh. You assume that although the different type of flesh, very different type of flesh, but the Gemara assumes that if mouse had access to meat, we would think it's likely that the mouse consumed it, and didn't leave it anywhere. But the mouse, and that comes up in the Tumah V'Tahara context. If the mouse has access to bread, he'll eat it eventually, but the lavdaf is going to eat it quickly enough that it's not a chametz problem. That we have a very short, by tomorrow morning we've got a problem. Tonight we have chiyuv dikas chametz, and by tomorrow midday we're dealing with an iser of only chametz min haTorah. So we're not so convinced that the mouse is going to consume. He'll eat it eventually. If he only gets to a chol moed, it's obviously not quick enough for our purposes. So let's take a look at what the Gemara does. The Gemara says, this shayla, which again begins as a very specific chametz shayla, on Leil Erev Pesach, Leil Bedikas Chametz, and the Shnei Batim Bedukim, and the mouse took the chametz, and I know he took him into one of the two houses, I couldn't tell which one. I was at an angle, and from a distance, I saw he was going into one of the two doors. I couldn't see which one of the two. And by the time I get close enough, he's gone. And maybe I have to do a bdikas chametz on both of them, but I don't have to. I wouldn't. If I have to, then I will. So do I need to start researching? The Gemara says, ah, that's the famous Mishnah, Hainu Shnei Shvilin. That's the case of the two paths. Now, this Mishnah is so famous, apparently, it has a name. The Amorav already called this, this case already had a name. It's the Shnei Shvilin Mishnah. What's the two path? This, nah, and here we have inside, let's take a look inside. Sixth line from the top, Sachem Yiram Aleph, and the little letter Gimel with the parentheses. This, nah, a Mishnah in the fifth parak of Taharas. Shnei Shvilin, I have two paths. Echa Tame the Echa Tar. One is Tame, one is Tar. How is that possible? I have two paths, and one is Tame, one is Tar. So the way, so the Rashi starts to explain, I mean, the path is Tame, path isn't food, path isn't the Kli. What that means is that there's Tumas Mace below one of the paths. That Mace, one of the uniquenesses of Tumas Mace is that it transmits Tumma even without direct contact. And even without physical interaction, just being above a mace, as you know, tumma parv tumma soel, is that if you're directly above a mace, typically you become tummy. So the Rashi explained, talk about a situation, there are two roads, road A, road B, and there's a mace buried across the width of one of them, but we're not sure which. How is that even possible? So just los haberes haozen, doesn't have to be this, but imagine the following scenario, I think it makes it a little more realistic. The Bate Kvaros were typically outside of the towns for a variety of reasons. So Vatara and hygiene, maybe just mood. You want the base Kvaros to be near, but not necessarily inside the town. As cities grow, they often grow to encompass the base Kvaros. Let's say, yeah. But small towns typically, traditionally, have the base Kvaros right outside the town. So imagine there was a winter Friday afternoon, and there was Rachmal son of the Petira, and we tried to do the Kavura before Shabbos. And it was a stormy winter afternoon, and there was a blizzard. They tried to set out, they did the Tahar, they had the Leviathan, and they start going to the Beis HaKfaris, and there's a terrible storm, and it's getting very, very heavy. And maybe even it's not a Friday afternoon. The blizzard is getting so strong that, you know, if we're worried if we don't head back to town soon, that Rahman al-Sun, living people may perish. So we can't, there's no way we're going to make it to the Beis HaKfaris, there's no way we're going to be able to dig, we have no idea. We're starting to lose visibility. So there's no choice, not Pikuach Nefesh. So they just have to dig right where they are. They just dig on the road, they just dig a hole, and they put the mace and do it very quick, as much cover mace as they can under the circumstances. They dig a hole quickly, and they bury the mace, they cover them with soil, and they run back to town to save their lives. In retrospect, we're not. It was already so stormy, there were two roads. Imagine the scenario was that there were two roads that get you from the town to the Beis HaKfaris. It was already so blizzardy, we weren't even sure which road we were on. We clearly were on one of those two roads, road A or road B. It was already so stormy, we're not sure which road we were on. But whichever one we were on, we know that we buried the mace across the width of the road we were on. So now we have an example, a realistic example, of what the Mishnah describes. I have two roads, and there's a mace buried across the width of one of the roads. Road A or road B. We're not sure which one. Whichever one it is, if you walk down that road, your vadai become tameh, because the mace is buried across the width of the whole road. So if you walk down the road, you're going to, at some point, be stepping over the mace, but we can't tell. Without starting to excavate both roads, or at least one whole road, we have no way of knowing, you know, where exactly the mace is and where, you know, which road he's buried on. So right now, you have this town, this kfar, and you have two roads coming out of it, road A, road B, and one of them is riddled with Tumas mace. The other one is not. So, if I'm Tahar and I walk down a road, I may or may not have become Tummy. So what's that example of? Which principle? Because I can make Tahar. I was Tahar an hour ago, and now I walk down road A, I may have become Tummy. Or I may not have become Tummy. Okay, we have no idea. So Chazaka tells me I remain Tahar. And Cheska's Tahar. So the Mishnah says, Shnei Shvilin, back inside, Tachim Daviyam and Aleph, Shnei Shvilin, if you two roads, Echa Tahar, the maze buried across the width of one of the two of them. that one would make you tame. The other one will maintain your tahara. We don't know which is which. And Reuven walked down road one, the asa taharas, and then he afterwards goes home to a tahar kitchen and makes salad with vegetables that were tahar. He wants to know, is his salad still tahar? If he's still tahar, then his salad is tahar. If he became tamei, walked down road one, that is, he's tamei. He became an avatama because he stepped over a mace. And now the salad became rishon to Ubacha Vero, then Shimon comes along, the Hal Pashani. Shimon obviously walked on road number two. Keep things exciting. And now Shimon goes to his tahar kitchen and makes chokshub cookies. And wants to know, again, he made chokshub cookies with tahar ingredients. If he's tahar, then the cookies are tahar. If he's tamei, if he's an avatoma, tamei mace, then the cookies are rishon l'tumah. So now Reuven has his salad, Shimon has his chokshub cookies, and we want to know, is the salad tahar or chokshub cookies tahar? So once again, so Holach Be'achamei and fellow goes on one of the Vasatars. Bochaveir Holach Be'sheni Vasatars. So what's the din? What's the din? So what should you have said? What should you have said? What will you tell Reuven? What's the status of his salad? Chazaka Shasei Tzar. What will you tell Shimon? Chazaka Shasei Tzar. If Yehuda Omer, Machlokes Yehuda Yosi. If Yehuda Omer, if Yehuda says, Nishal Zeb Nisne Atzma, Zeb Nisne Atzma, Tahori. If each one asked separately, they showed up separately to the Rav, Reuven came in the morning, Shimon came in the afternoon, sounds like, so then they're both Tahor. The Shnei V'Asacha, because Chazaka. Shnei V'Asacha, they come together to ask, you know, Harav, what's the din? I walked on, you know, he walked on road one, he walked on road two, both times. Then we told them they're Tamar. That's strange. Why does it matter what they asked together separately? Rav Yossi says, Benkach or Benkach to me. Either way, they're Tamar. So what's the issue? And the Gemara is saying, and that seems to be true for this case of the Achbar, who went into either house number one or house number two. Each house has a Cheskas Tahara. So it sounds like Machlokes Reb Yossi and Reb Yehuda. So Rava, the Amora Rava explains, it's either the Amora Rava or the Amora Rabbi Yochanan. Amar Rava became Reb Yochanan. Interesting, Itema, because they lived in different countries and in different centuries. Usually when you have a suffix who said it, two Talmidim the same Rebbe. The Amar Rava became Reb Yochanan. The Vasachas Yerachal Tamein. Everyone agrees, if the Mamash come to ask the Shai together, that we tell them both their tummy. And Bezer HaZeh, if they came separately to ask Divya Kol Torah, everyone agrees they're Tahar. I would say Machlokes Reb Yossi and Yehuda. And Machlokes Reb Yossi and Yehuda is only in the in-between case. What's the in-between case? One fellow shows up to ask about himself and his chaver. Reb Yossi says it's like basachas, and we say tome, like asking together. Yehuda says no, that's like zera chazer, and we say that they are tahar. What is going on? What is going on? What's this all about? So Rashi explains. Well, Tosu, take a look at Tosu, a teeny tiny Tosu. The basachas divya kol tmei. They come together there, everyone agrees they're tummy. Why are they tummy? Says Tosas, near the Hainu Midrabanan. Midaraisa feel Vasachas Torah. Mina Torah, they're always tar. Why are they always tar, both tar? Because each one has a chazaka. Right? In other words, what Tosas explained, Rashi does as well, that fundamentally everyone agrees, Mina Torah, that if you have a Cheskas Tar and I have a Cheskas Tar, we're both tar. Nor was, practically speaking, Reb Yossi and Yehuda both concerned, Reb Yossi a little more than Reb Yehuda, Midrabanan, they're concerned. If we're going to tell both people simultaneously that they're a tar, that sounds absurd. That sounds illogical. They're clearly not both tar. Obviously, one of them walked over a mace. We don't know who. Either the mace is on road one and Reuben walked over the mace, or the mace is on the road two and Shimon walked over the mace. But clearly, one of the two of them walked over the mace. Clearly, one of the two of them is tamed, actually speaking. Clearly, one of the two of them handled food and made it tamed. Either the salad is tamed, or the cookies are tamed. Right? Factually speaking, one of them is tamed. So Rabbi Yosef and Yehuda both say midrabanan. There are certain cases where it would sound ridiculous, and if we're going to tell them both together, you're both tahar. People are going to make fun. People are going to say, oh, this halacha is ridiculous. This halacha is silly. You're making up silly piskei halacha. People will make it into a chucha betlulim. People, it will lead people to scoff, to scorn halacha. So midrabanan. If they're mamash asking together, machlokes views you know the details, but midrabanan, if they're mamash asking together, midrabanan, we have to tell them they're both tamid. But fundamentally, each one is tar. Because fundamentally, and even in the case of min haTorah, they're really always both tar because they both, each one has a chazaka. Now here's where it gets interesting. It's not just that, an outside observer might say that sounds illogical, that sounds silly. So midrabanan, we're gonna have to sometimes say both tame, because the outside observer might think, oh, that's illogical. How can you say they're both tar? But yeah, the outside observer, aliba de emes, it does seem illogical. They're not. You say min haTorah, I should tell them both. You are both tar. That's not true, and I'll prove it to you. No one. Clearly, al pi cheshbon, one of them is tamei. But it's more than that. Here's where it gets really bizarre. Tosis wants to know, why are we talking about the salad and the chocolate chip cookies? Just talk about that. Talk about Reuben and Shimon. Why do you have to... I'm giving a case. I want to make it exciting, so I talk about salad, which excites some people, and chocolate chip cookies, which excites more people. But the Tanoim, like what? Some of you had a chance to have some chocolate chip cookies yesterday. So, you're in the right place at the right time. So, the prime menu had chocolate chip cookies in many different places. Look up at Chavez. Many different ovens. Whatever it is. But why the Tanoim? The Tanoim were trying to be as sparing as possible. So why do they have to waste words in the Mishnah on the this one's making towers. I mean, they just say, the two people. The Tosis explains, no, because the two people, it gets a little complicated. He says, what if they both touch the same thing? Take a look at the end of the first Tosis. See the top Tosis, you're going to have an avhala. Take a look at the last line. No, let's read the whole Tosis. How did not cut taharos? Why do we have to talk about the tahar food that they're making? Just focus on him. Leave out the food. Mishum de legavre, because if you're talking about the people themselves, it's true that they are also, each one is becheskas tahara. But lamaisa matrichim lahu tevila v'haza. We would make them undergo the paraduma process. Haza and tevila and so forth. Why? Shelo yigu shneim betruma. Because we would be worried what's going to happen if they both touch the same truma. The case the Mishnah gives is Reuven handled the salad and Shimon handled the chocolate cookies. But what happens if Reuven and Shimon both handle the same apple crisp? Reuven touches the apple crisp and Shimon touches the apple crisp. Now what's the status of the apple crisp? That's Tamei. That's Tumah V'Adayis. That's for sure Tamei. What either? Why is it for sure Tamei? Well, because
you know, one of them is
Tommy. But one of them is Tommy. Either one of them is Tommy Shimon. I don't know who. But one of those two guys is Tommy. If they both touch the same apple crisp, then it's for sure Tommy. And the Ocha B'Misa. If you eat it, you die. That's why you chayv Misa for eating Tommy foods. If it's Truma. Eating Truma Tameya. Eating Tommy foods is not Chiyah Misa. Eating Truma Tameya is Chiyah Misa B'Dei Shamayim. Tommy says, this is for real. In other words, Tommy's trying to say, there's an onesh. This isn't a suffix. If both Reuven and Shimon subsequently touched the same piece of truma food, that is vadai tamed. There will be an onesh misa b'dei shamayim if any Jew, Reuven, Shimon, Lev, Yehuda, anyone, eats that truma. And the last line tells, v'im nagu shneim b'echad, if both Reuven, if Levi goes over and shakes Reuven's hand, and then Levi goes over to shake Shimon's hand, and then Levi walks into the Beis HaMikdash, the Nichnas HaMikdash, Chayiv. He's Chayiv for going to Mikdash Tameh. Why? Because we know that Levi is Tameh. Because either he became Tameh when he shook Reuven's hand on Monday, or he became Tameh when he shook Shimon's hand on Tuesday. One second. Can you just process this a little bit? This is like, it's getting like, it's almost like a house of mirrors. I don't understand. On the one hand, the second Tosis tells me, by looking at the Mishnah and the Gemara, that we will tell Reuven that he's Tar. We will tell Shimon that he's Tar. Min HaTar, we should even tell them both together, you're both Tar. But yet, if they then, the Reuven and Shimon both come to the rabbi, right? And Rabbi tells, and let's, min haTorah, min Jabbanan, we wouldn't tell them Bivas Achas. But min haTorah, I can say, Reuben your Tar, Shimon your Tar. And they say, great. And they both shake the rabbi's hand. Now the rabbi is Tameh. Huh? That's what the first Tosis just said. They both shake the rabbi's hand. Thank you for the psak. Now the rabbi is Tameh. So Reuben's Tar, Shimon's Tar, and the rabbi is Tameh? Bizarre. I don't understand. Are they Tar or are they Tameh? The whole thing's strange. What's going on? In other words, let's reformulate a little bit. Let's try to put this into words. What the Mishnah is telling me, this Mishnah, the famous Mishnah of Shnei Shvilin, quoted in Pesachim Daf Yud and Ksubas Daf of Zayin, but originally a Mishnah in the fifth paragraph of Maseches Taras. The Mishnah says that Chazaka is super powerful. Chazaka even works the Makam Tarte the Sasre. Chazaka can work even in contradictory ways. Either Reuven became Tameh or Shimon became Tameh, yet Chazaka can tell me that Reuven is Tar and Shimon is Tar. Wow. Even though, at the same time, each one is still Safek Tameh, and if they combine forces, they do create a Bavet Tumah. Chazaka is like, bizarre. And I remember taking it back to where we were before. We were saying before, that Chazaka is weak. Rove versus Chazaka, Chamim hold, Reuven Chazaka, Reuven. Chazaka loses to Rove. And Chazaka is weak in the second Gittin. Unlike Rove, which can talk not only about the past or the present, but even about the future, Tosis on Gittin on the Gimel, the Gemara says, Gemara Rashi and Gittin Chazaka, Chazaka can only talk about the present. Chazaka can't talk about the future. So what if Chazaka is super weak? It loses to Rove, according to Dr. Kamen. It can't predict the future, unlike Rove. It's weaker than Rove. And yet, all of a sudden, you come to Shnei Shvilin, Chazaka is wildly powerful. As I said before, and now you see it, illogically. It seems like illogically powerful. It's defying logic. And what's more ironic, and with this we close, is we said, Midrabanan, sometimes we have to go easy on how powerful Chazak is. Midrabanan, that's Vasachas. We're going to say, we're not going to tell them they're both Tar, because it would seem to the unlearned observer as though it's a Chulcha Betula. But we're bothered, why Taka does it make sense? They are both Safek Tameh, they combine force, they make Tameh, but yet we tell them both that they're Tar based on Chazak. Chazak works illogically, but it doesn't. And then finally, I'll leave it with this. So you may have also noticed in Kedushin Daf Hey, we came across Rabbi Meir. We didn't yet focus on him. We'll come back to him. What was Rabbi Meir based on? The same Rabbi Meir is based on. He said, Chazaka. He said, I diminish Rove. I'm focused on the Meir plus Chazaka. Now you're beginning to see that if we can solve the mystery of what Chazaka is, it's so weak and it's so powerful, and it works, it doesn't work, in all sorts of bizarre ways. If we figure out Chazaka, we may have an entree to figure out Meir also.